Saturday, October 23rd, 2021, and there is no turning back, ladies and gentlemen, as we are 1 week away from Halloween, and I want to thank you for tuning in to our second episode of the podcast. My name, of course, is Shannon Young. I'm going to be your host tonight, as well every week, every Saturday, except for the next 2 weeks when we'll be recording the show on Friday, because my schedule is just booked solid. If you hear any kind of music in the background tonight, I do want to apologize first off. I record this show from my office, which is in the basement of my house, and I just moved in here about a month ago, maybe 2 months ago. I haven't set anything up yet, so I don't have any kind of soundproofing or anything like that. I do plan on doing that at some point in the future and making this into a nice little recording space, but until then, I do have to deal with the barking dogs of some of the neighbors and the fact that you can hear every creak in this house like it's right next to you. So I've got my headphones on right now, even though I have no reason to. I am listening to background music to drown out that noise because I don't want to distract myself. So if any of that comes across through the microphone, which it absolutely should not, but just in case it does, I do want to apologize. And if you're curious about what I'm listening to right now, I'm actually listening to the Cyberpunk 2077 soundtrack right now is Atom Smasher, which if you've never played the game, by the way, it's a good game. Don't let anyone lie to you. It's not a perfect game, but it's a good game. I know a lot of people are big fans of it. If you are joining us once again this week, you listen to last week's episode, I do have a funny story to tell. Funny for some people. Probably not. It wasn't very funny for myself. Because what had happened was I wanted to record an episode that I could shop around and send it to a couple of friends, send it to some trusted allies, ask them their opinion on it before I posted it. And I decided to do my first episode based on Donald Trump because I thought that doing one based on something that has already happened gave me some time that if I wanted to, again, you know, send it around to some people, get their opinions on it first, I could then post it later and it wouldn't have a time limit on the subject. Of course, in news and in the media, there is a window of opportunity, as my, you know, college journalism professor told me, where you can get a story out and talk about it while it's still relevant. Donald Trump, of course, is relevant for all the wrong reasons, but he's still relevant, absolutely. And I could post that Donald Trump story talking about his presidency anytime over the course of a couple weeks. So I was going to originally send it to friends, get their opinion on it, make sure that they thought it sounded good, that everything sounded good. This is the first podcast that I'm doing without my Podzilla 1985 cohorts, so I'm obviously nervous. Even though I've been doing podcasting now for over six years, I still get nervous. So, you know, obviously I wanted it to sound good. Well, what happened is I had already signed up to Podbean through Podzilla 1985, but it was set to a very specific email address that was specific to Podzilla 1985. When I decided to do this show, I decided to stick with Podbean because even though there are some things that I don't like about it, generally I do like the service and I decided to stick with them. I signed up for this show through my Facebook account because it was easiest to do. I didn't have to create a new email address or anything like that. I just signed up through Facebook, thought I was safe. The problem is, whether it was something I clicked on and didn't realize it, or it was just something automatic, whenever I posted the show last week, I ended up posting it to every Facebook account that I manage. And it's not just my personal Facebook. I also run, you know, I'm an admin on the Facebook for Cape Championship Wrestling. I'm an admin on the Facebook for Gaming Grounds, Podzilla 1985, and then a host of other ones that I don't even use anymore. I had a page specifically for my wrestling career. I had a page for I Want to Believe when we were going to turn that into its own entity. And unbeknownst to me at the time, it ended up posting that show to every single one of those pages. And I did not realize it until good 30 minutes after the fact when my dear friend Dalton, Anthony, from Podzilla, from CCW, messaged me and said, "Hey, did you mean to post that on CCW's page?" I absolutely did not. So in a panic, I went to all these different pages. I started deleting things left and right. And it was incredibly embarrassing. As funny as it would have been, like my friend Derek Boxdorfer, for happy belated birthday, said it would have been pretty funny if I had left that up on CCW's page, knowing what a good chunk of their audience is right wing. And I don't think that would have been a good idea. So I deleted all of it. I was horribly embarrassed. And it almost made me want to stop doing the show immediately. Because talk about getting off on the wrong foot. Man, I was so excited about doing this show. And then immediately I shot myself in the foot and feel like I made an idiot of myself. But here we go again. We're trying again. Week two. We've got a lot to talk about tonight. I've got a couple of stories I want to discuss. And last week, if you haven't listened to it, of course, go back and check it out. It's on our page on Podbean, No Turning Back with Shannon Young. It was an hour of talking about the legacy of Donald Trump, which I thought went okay. It wasn't my favorite first episode that I've ever done or favorite episode I've ever done. It's not 50th of episode of Podzilla 1985 bad, but it wasn't great. It was okay. I think the biggest problem was I was trying to cram 4 years of history plus, you know, a year after and a year before into a 1 hour program. And you just can't do that. I think I bit off a little bit more than I could chew. I think there were some good points on there. For the most part, I was okay with it, but it wasn't my favorite episode. We're going to try to do better this week. No history lessons tonight. Not really. Instead, we're going to talk about a couple stories that have really rocked the world this week and partially in the last week. And that actually leads us into our first story. It also leads us into a segment I'm bringing over from Podzilla 1985. When I started this show, No Turning Back, I wanted it to be a more serious discussion about the news, about the events that shape the world. But at the same time, I think last week especially, one of the mistakes I made was trying too hard to fit into a mold that wasn't really me and not letting my actual personality and the way that I am shine through. So this week, I'm going to relax myself a little bit, try not to sound so serious and just be myself. And in doing so, I'm bringing a bit over from the Podzilla After Dark that we don't really use anymore. And even when we do use it, it's mostly me doing it. Although, you know, those guys obviously put their two cents in. This is also going to start our habit of cursing on the show. We're not going to make it a all the time thing. It's not going to be every week, and we're certainly not going to do it for no reason. But in this particular case, we do have to use a little bit of salty language. So if you are too young to hear salty language, or if it does offend the ears, I apologize. Skip ahead maybe a couple minutes, because this week on No Turning Back, we are going to award our very first, that's right, Motherfucker of the Week. I think Motherfucker of the Week is a fantastic title that we give out every week. And since we're switching the Thursday show over to something more fun, lighthearted, I think it's a great opportunity to take this bit that we created. I think I created it. If not, I'm going to owe some royalties to somebody over there. And we're going to bring it over to the Saturday show here on my own network. So the Motherfucker of the Week this week actually goes back to October 13th. You may have heard about this story. It was all over the place. But the problem with mainstream media, especially, as you all know, if you take part in any, if you digest any sort of mainstream media, is that we are on such a fast news cycle. Something can come and go in the course of a day or two, and you may have missed it completely. So that's what we're here to do, to talk about these kind of stories and just kind of shed some light on them. So this took place on October 13th. There was an incident in Pennsylvania, in Philadelphia. Again, you may have heard of this, where there was a woman on one of the trains in Philadelphia, and she was assaulted sexually by a man who we now know, and I always feel like I'm going to butcher this name, and I'm probably going to butcher it, but oh well, he's kind of awful. I mean, he's definitely awful. Fiston Noy, I hope I'm pronouncing that for no other reason than, you know, just to be accurate, but Fiston Noy assaulted this woman on the train around 9:15 p.m., and was bothering her. She asked him to leave him alone. He refused. He kept pestering her. He kept bothering her. And eventually one thing led to another, and it turned from a verbal assault into him grabbing her and eventually full-on sexually assaulting her and raping her on the train. It lasted about 10 minutes, from what I understand. And in that 10 minutes... And this is where the Motherfucker of the Week comes into play, because you may be thinking that I would give him the label of Motherfucker of the Week. I wouldn't do that. I don't give that label to serious criminals, because I feel like that takes away some of the impact of what they do. And it's an awful, awful story. And what he did was awful. And I hope he is prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law. But the Motherfucker of the Week goes to the people on that train who watched it. So that's the thing. That's the thing that is going to piss you off most about this story, if not for the fact that this innocent woman was raped. Obviously, that was the absolute worst thing that happened. But the fact that there was a train full of commuters who did nothing. They didn't call the police. They didn't intervene and try to stop this man. They literally just watched this woman be raped for upwards of 10 minutes. And the only reason it stopped was because a train worker came, and whether they were, I think they found the situation themselves, they stumbled upon it. They ended up calling the police, and the man was arrested and is, you know, behind bars right now. He is, from what I've read, an illegal immigrant and a transient, which this is not going to turn into bashing illegal immigrants. That's not what I'm going to do in this show. I'm focusing on these passengers who not only did nothing to stop this attack, but reports say they actually filmed it. They were, I guess, the video from the train shows them holding their phones up and recording this incident. And you would think, well, maybe they were recording it as evidence, but maybe they were afraid to step in and intervene. But so far, none of this has come out. No one has turned any of this evidence over to police. So they literally just sat on this train while this poor woman was being assaulted sexually right in front of them, and they did nothing. Not only did they do nothing, but some of them actually filmed it, and it's absolutely disgusting. And if ever you feel like maybe there's hope for humanity in this world, you hear a story like this, and maybe it changes your mind. It reminds me a lot of a story that we covered. I think we covered it. If not, we're going to talk about it right now. Back in 2017 in Florida, there was a man named Jamel Dunn who drowned in a pond in July, and he was disabled. And as he's drowning in the pond and he's fighting for his life, there were a group of teens. I think there were four teens who watched it happen. And not only did they watch it happen, they filmed it while throwing insults out and making fun of him for drowning, saying things, you get out of the water, you're gonna die, no one can help you. And when he went underwater, they just said, oh, he just died. And then they posted it to social media later as a joke. I guess they thought it was funny. The problem with that and the problem with this is that there is no such thing as a Good Samaritan law in Florida, and I believe in Pennsylvania as well, meaning that if someone is in trouble and someone else is there and could stop it and chooses not to stop it, it doesn't matter. They don't have to help. You are not legally required to help your fellow man, which is, I mean, it's understandable. You don't have to step in to save somebody. You would think common decency and wanting to be a good person would inspire you to help and would inspire you to reach out and do something. Whether, you know, these four teens could have jumped in the water and saved this man, they could have called the police, and maybe the police could have saved him or something. They found his body 2 days later, by the way. And in the case of the train, you know, depending on how many people were there, which I don't think they've said yet how many people were actually on the train, but there were enough people that someone could have done something, if nothing else, than to call the police. But you don't have to do that. There is no law saying that you have to do that. And today it was announced, because there was an argument to be made and a belief that the people that filmed it could have been arrested for filming it and doing nothing. But the prosecutor today announced that there will be no charges pressed against these people. The man that did it, Fiston Noy, he is obviously in jail, and I don't think it's going to take much to convict him. What his punishment will be, who knows? But the fact that these people who sat there and did nothing and watched their fellow man, this woman being raped and assaulted, she apparently went into shock when the attack happened, and they sat there and did nothing and just let this man do this to her, is absolutely disgusting. And the fact that they can't be charged with anything, though understandably legally, is so disgusting and enraging. And it's an absolutely heartbreaking and terrible story. I feel bad for her, obviously, not just for the fact that she was assaulted, which is absolutely awful. I can't say enough bad things about that, but the fact that she has to live with this knowledge that there were people that could have stopped them, that could have helped her, and chose not to. If you remember a couple years ago, a story we did cover with Brock Turner, the rapist who assaulted a woman behind a dumpster after she had had too much to drink, and two cyclists who stopped him. And even though he got away with it, and gee, I wonder, you know, play along with me here. Who do you think is going to get it worse? The well-off arguably attractive, I guess, white upper class swimmer who, and I take back what I said about being attractive. That was absolutely not true. He's a monster and incredibly ugly. The fact that he got so little, no jail time, if I remember correctly, or I forget the exact, I just remember us being really pissed off about it. Whatever it was that he got was not nearly enough in any realm. The fact that he got what he got, do you think he maybe is going to get off a little easier than this illegal immigrant with the dark complexion that raped a woman on the train? And I'm not saying that that guy should get off easy. He should be prosecuted to the fullest extent of the law, as should have Brock Turner, the rapist. I know I'm bringing up old shit, but that's still infuriating. So the motherfuckers of the week, the very first time we awarded here on the show, and I just threw journalistic credibility out of the window maybe by cursing so much all in the span of the first 15 minutes. The scumbags who sat on this train and watched a woman get raped and did absolutely nothing about it. Congratulations. I hope it's something you're very, very proud of and something that you will have to live with for the rest of your life, assuming you even have the capacity to appreciate the terrible thing that you've done. Let's move on. It's not going to be a happy week this week, as the news often isn't a happy week. One of the biggest stories that I've been asked about and we've talked about in the Podzilla chats and in my circle is the absolutely stunning and tragic event that happened on the set of the movie Rust when Alec Baldwin, famous actor, discharged a prop firearm and accidentally killed a cinematographer and injured the director of this film. We heard about this, I think, to pull back the curtain a little bit, like my good friend Cody Sandusky would say, we heard about this while we were playing Red Dead Redemption. Red Dead Redemption 2 online being just about the only free time that I have per night, and one of the only joys I have through the day. As we were playing, I believe it was Tanner, or maybe it was Kaz. Actually, it was probably Kaz. Brought this up and told us what had happened, you know, on live while we were playing. And it was, you know, things kind of came out piece by piece. And everyone's jumping on this. I've seen so many right-wing personalities, quote-unquote, trying to play the angle off as Alec Baldwin committing murder, which it absolutely was not. It was a prop gun. Not sure exactly what happened, if something was lodged in the barrel or what, but when they were doing rehearsals, he was given three prop guns, and one of the prop guns who, you know, whoever it was that was kind of helping along with this, I forget exactly who, said that the gun was cold, which means that it was checked and that it was ready to fire. There was no problems with it. Well, when he fired the gun, it had a live round inside of it. I think it was a live round is what it was. It wasn't a bitter piece. It was actually a live round in the gun, which then hit the woman. I believe her name was Helena Hutchins. And I'm trying to remember that off the top of my head. And it's been a busy day, so if I'm butchering that name as well, I do apologize. Struck her in the chest, killing her. She was airlifted out, but was pronounced dead at the hospital. And then it hit the maybe ricocheted, or I believe the director, Joel Souza, I think it was his name, was standing behind her, and he was hit. He has been released. He's going to be okay. But obviously, if you've seen the pictures of Alec Baldwin, you can see it in his face. Just the knowledge. I mean, imagine living with the fact that you have accidentally killed somebody. You know, it's obviously not, as far as I could tell, it wasn't his fault. He didn't try to kill this person. Obviously, he was just firing a prop firearm that he was told was good to go. But imagine living with the knowledge that you took someone else's life. Just like the people on the train in the first story we talked about just a few minutes ago, this is something that Alec Baldwin has to live with for the rest of his life. And unfortunately, it's not the first time something like this has happened. The most obvious case, and I know I said I wasn't going to give any history lessons, but just a little bit of a history lesson. If you remember the movie The Crow, starring the late, great Brandon Lee, the son of Bruce Lee, Brandon was struck by a blank when there was something lodged in the barrel and it struck him in the abdomen and he died from that. It was his last film. They had to finish the movie with CG. And the actor that had done that, I've only seen him in one other thing. It was Tales from the Hood, one of my favorite horror films of all time. But again, the knowing that, you know, he has to live with that for the rest of his life. I don't think he acts anymore. I know that the woman that played Shelley, the actress, she retired from acting after the incident. And so many people were traumatized during that. And of course, it robbed us of, again, the late, great Brandon Lee. There was another actor in the 80s, and I forget his name, who, while, you know, messing with a prop firearm, put it to his own temple and pulled the trigger. And even though it was a blank, the force, the concussion of the, you know, the blast ended up killing him. So, and it doesn't just happen in, you know, movies with props. This is a little bit of a stretch, but I remember a couple years ago, the legendary professional wrestler Rey Mysterio Jr. accidentally ended up causing the death of another wrestler in a tragic, tragic incident. These things happen. And it just, living with that knowledge that you have taken someone's life, even if it's an accident, I mean, how do you recover from that? I don't think I could recover from that, knowing that it's my fault that someone else is no longer alive. There is a big conspiracy theory that I've heard from a couple people that Alec Baldwin is so outspoken as a celebrity against, you know, the right and Donald Trump especially, that could this be a setup? Did someone load the gun with a live round purposely to cause chaos, cause panic? To end someone's life, to frame Alec Baldwin for murder? It's something that seems so off the wall impossible that there's no way it could possibly be true. Yet in this day and age of 2021, right after President Donald Trump, where insurrectionists attacked the Capitol on January 6th, it doesn't seem like it's that far out of the realm of possibility anymore. What we do know is that someone loaded that gun with a live round. It doesn't seem like that was an accident. I'm not trying to make any accusations, obviously, because I don't know. I wasn't there. And I'm sure that the FBI and the police will figure it out and we'll learn more in the next couple of weeks. But even though I don't 100% subscribe to the conspiracy theory that someone set Alec Baldwin up for murder, after everything we've seen for the past 4.5 years, does that really seem so out of the question? My heart obviously goes out to the family of the deceased and to everyone that was affected by this. It's absolutely tragic, and it's a nightmare scenario. Apparently the set was plagued with trouble anyway. Apparently there were other accidental discharges. There were other shady things going on with it. The head armorer of this movie did an interview not too long ago where she was talking about another film. She's relatively new. She was trained by her father, and she did another movie with Nicolas Cage where she talked about thinking that maybe she wasn't good enough to do this and to take control of it and keep everybody safe. And now in the wake of this, this interview has come to light, and it's, the words are even more chilling and haunting. But no matter what happens, whether it was an accident or this is some wild ass conspiracy theory to set up Alec Baldwin for killing someone, it doesn't take away from the fact that a person died. And if there was one thing that I'm a little frustrated with the mainstream media on this, and for those of you that know me, you know, I don't really have much love for mainstream media, whether it's left or right, doesn't matter. Fox, CNN, I watch them constantly, and there are so many things I hate about them. A lot of what we're talking about with this story is the Alec Baldwin part. The fact that this famous actor is the one that pulled the trigger. And even though a lot of people have, you know, of course, mentioned the poor woman that died in the accident, the focus is definitely on who did it as opposed to who passed away. And I think it's important that we remember at the end of the day, this woman lost her life. And yeah, I do feel bad for Alec Baldwin that he has to live with the knowledge of what he did for the rest of his life. But let's not forget that this woman's gone. She's the victim in all of this. And if it was, I hope to God the conspiracy theory isn't true. Because if the conspiracy theory is true, if someone is that awful, I don't know. I don't know what to say about it. It's depressing. Have we come to that point in life and in politics where if we disagree with someone enough, we would try to set them up for murder, or at the very least set to ruin their life by having them kill someone else. I would hope not. But again, after 4 years of Donald Trump as president and all of the awful things that he did, and after all of the awful things that he inspired, is it really that outside the realm of possibility? I'm going to keep you updated on the story as it goes along, because I'm curious. I would assume this is a story of just an unfortunate accident. But again, nothing really surprises you anymore. Last thing we're going to talk about tonight, as my goal is to keep these shows at 30 minutes. I think a quick bite at the end of the week just to kind of talk about these things that happened is a good start. If it goes well, maybe we'll extend it to an hour. We'll see. Maybe if I bring some guests on, we'll do some specials and bring it to an hour. But the goal is 30 minutes. So let's try to hit that goal tonight. Last thing I want to talk about this week is Brian Laundrie. Of course, if you have been paying attention to the news, it's confirmed that they found Brian Laundrie's remains in Florida. And the timeline makes it sound like his death occurred not too long after, you know, all of this started, once he went missing. So on the one hand, at least there's some closure for Gabby's family, knowing that the person that, I mean, allegedly killed their daughter is dead. But at the same time, his death, short of him leaving some kind of confessional, short of him leaving something, they'll never know what happened to their daughter. All they know is that she's dead. You know, the coroner, they did the autopsy, and it was, you know, ruled homicide by strangulation. Someone strangled her to death. And then her fiance comes home without her, almost immediately disappears into the wild. And now he's dead too. So even though you can kind of piece things together, and it doesn't seem like it's that hard to piece this together, you feel like you know where the pieces are going to go. Without knowing for sure, without a confession, assuming there isn't one, we'll never know for sure. And her family deserves to know the truth. And also, you know, before we get into anything else, the whole argument that the only reason she's getting the attention is because she's the pretty white girl, and there's all these other people who are missing, and they deserve to have attention on them. They absolutely do. That there's no question about that. And even, you know, Gabby's parents have tried to use this as a way to shed light on these other missing people. I want to take nothing away from that. I want to take nothing away from the people that deserve to be found, and their stories deserve to be told. But it also shouldn't take away from the tragedy of what happened to Gabby, and the fact that now this story apparently is closed. Except in the next couple of weeks and months, we're going to find out more about what happened from maybe her family or his family. Again, my own theory, with nothing to back it up other than my own thoughts, is it sounds very much like he came home, probably told them what happened, and they helped him get away. Maybe with the knowledge, maybe without the knowledge, that he was going to go kill himself, because I truly believe that's what happened. But they stalled. They helped him escape into the wild, where he, until something tells me otherwise, my belief is that he took his own life. Which to me says that he honestly probably did not mean to kill Gabby. You know, they obviously had problems. There was the video of them being confronted by the police officer because of, you know, him possibly abusing her. Until we know more, he could potentially be a complete monster. Maybe he was an abusive monster, or maybe they got into a fight and he went too far, which still makes him a monster, by the way. And he gets no sympathy from me. I want to be clear about that. But to me, it sounds like he killed her probably on accident. Couldn't live with what he did, and instead of going to jail and facing justice and, you know, living up to the awful thing that he did, he went to his parents, they helped him escape, he went and died instead of facing up to what he did. He chose to die. So on the one hand, good that he's dead. I have no sympathy for the man. I have no sympathy for anyone that abuses, obviously murders somebody else, but I do wish that they had caught him, so that he could have told them what happened, if he had told the truth at all. Obviously, there's nothing to say that he would have said exactly what happened. He could have lied his ass off, and with her dead, there's no one to say that his story was incorrect. All we have is the forensic evidence that he strangled this girl, but he could have made up any lie that he wanted to try to justify it. But we don't even get that. Instead, she's dead, he's dead, and at least one family is left to wonder what happened to their child. And that's awful. I wish there was a better way to wrap this up. I really do. It's not a happy week in news. And again, maybe we'll extend this to an hour next week. I feel like we just got into these things and we're already cutting it short. But I told myself I was going to try to keep it to as close as 30 minutes as possible. See where it goes as a bite-sized program. But I have so much to say and so much I want to talk about. Maybe we'll extend it to an hour. I'll talk it over with the guys. I'll shop it around. This time I won't post it to every single Facebook that I am an administrator on. So this time maybe I'll actually get my reactions first before I decide to move on. If you listened to us last week, obviously thank you so much. If you listen to us this week, again, thank you. We'll be here every weekend talking about the news of the week. We may extend it to an hour because I feel like we only got into it before we had to cut this off. I do want to say next week we'll be doing the show on Friday. The week after, once again, we'll be doing it on a Friday as well. And I invite you to obviously come in and listen to me once again. Thank you so much. As far as the rest of the show goes, Podzilla 1985, I do want to say, because we are obviously still doing that. We're reworking it. We're still right in the middle of Terrifying Tanner Thursday. That is over on Podzilla1985.com. You can catch all the newest episodes over there. It's going to be a lot of fun. This is our last week before Halloween, so it's the last episode of Terrifying Tanner Thursday. We don't know what Tanner has installed or in coming up. We have no what he has in store for us. Knowing Tanner, it could be anything. He may actually take us out to an abandoned cabin and murder us for all I know. And Lord knows that a lot of us have it coming. So that is next week on Thursday for an all-new Terrifying Tanner Thursday. And then, of course, you can catch all the great shows on Podzilla1985.com. But this is not a pitch for Podzilla 1985. If you're listening to me, you probably already listened to that show anyway. This is No Turning Back with Shannon Young, covering all the news that shapes the world of the week, or at least part of it, because there's way too much news to cover in 30 minutes and even an hour. But we're going to try our best every week. Till next week, ladies and gentlemen, thank you once again for tuning in. I love you very much. I'll see you next Friday. Have a great weekend and take care of each other. Later.